What the EFL is the Football League podcast convening for the final time in 2025-26. Coming up, a hull of a promotion as its third time unlucky for Borough, Hot to Trotters topple Hatters, and Soaring Magpies sink Salford. Powered by Quinbet. This is What the EFL. That is all she wrote for 2025-26 in the English Football League after a weekend of playoff finals played in blistering heat at Wembley Stadium. We're here to dissect them all. It's me, Matt. I've got Adrian Clark and Sam Parkin alongside me. Clarky, have you had a nice weekend and have you cooled down from Wembley on Monday?
Very pleasant weekend. Obviously, seeing Arsenal lift the Premier League trophy was great, and then hot-footed it to Wembley for the Notts County sort of procession into League One. But goodness me, yeah, it was warm. I went down by the pitch by that giant trophy before the game, and crikey, I was sweating buckets just standing there. So like how the players played, especially in the way they did, is unbelievable, really. So kudos to all of them.
Yeah, 37 degrees pitch side for that one. Sam, you were on TV comms. Presumably that meant you were in their higher, more shady, elevated position. Was it slightly cooler for you?
It was actually fine, yeah. Yeah, so I basically didn't go in the sun at all during the entirety of yesterday, apart from the little stroll from the hotel to the ground. I wouldn't go as far to say I felt sorry for the players, because it's still the pinnacle of a lot of their playing careers, but it's not weather conducive to football. And after Saturday's drab affair, which we'll come on to shortly, I was fearful for the rest of the weekend, especially that, given that there was so little between the four sides that were going head-to-head in the League One and League Two final. So I'm chuffed that we got some goals, even though yesterday's was very one-sided, plenty of goal mouth action and two very different games to what I was anticipating.
Yeah, okay, well, we'll get on to the drab affair shortly, but first let me remind you of the offer from our partners Quinbet, where you can get 50% back up to £25. If your account has sportsbook losses at the end of your first day's betting, Quinbet will refund 50% of your losses as a free bet up to £25, minimum three bets. Even if your account's up, you're guaranteed a £5 free bet, provided you place at least one bet of £10 or greater at the minimum odds. T's and C's apply. It's 18+ and for new UK customers only. Visit gamblerware.org for information on responsible gambling. Okay, we're going to start, as ever, with the Championship.
Hirakawa. Oh, it's a good ball, and the keeper's lost it! And Hull City are surely heading to the Premier League! Ollie McBurney has almost certainly won this playoff final for the Tigers!
Indeed he had. What a season for Ollie McBurney, and what an afternoon for Hull City, back in the big time against all odds after that late winner from their main man in the Wembley sunshine on Saturday. A sickener for Sol Brin, though, his error coming at quite the cost. We'll talk about Middlesbrough in due course, Sam, but what about Hull? First side to be promoted to the Premier League after finishing sixth since Blackpool in 2010. It was a pretty poor game. They will care not a jot for that.
No, if they were going to win, it was in this exact fashion. And they carried out the game plan superbly well, defended with incredible organisation, determination, that back three that he put in for the semi-final, doing the business again at Wembley. And to limit such a free-flowing, exciting Middlesbrough side to zero really presentable opportunities is something going. I mean, Pandor didn't have a save to make. So it was a defensive masterclass. And it was interesting hearing Jukurović speak about a potential weakness in the Middlesbrough makeup on their right-hand side, actually, I think, name-checking Whittaker in the fact that he comes central into the pocket and doesn't necessarily give the wing-back Britton the support or the cover. And they had two opportunities from crosses in from the left-hand side, and obviously that's where the goal comes from. Probably the best chance of the game prior to the goal was McBurney's one, which the centre-half, Melander, just got a little piece of to take it onto the top of the crossbar. So, yeah, if they identified that and they got joy from it, then that's another tick in the box for Jukurović. Yeah, but a really tough day, I think, for the players due to the conditions. And they were very open. The manager and the owner, top half, I think he said, maybe top 10 the owner was the ambition, and then getting in the playoffs, I don't think, probably in his wildest dreams, he anticipated actually getting over the line at Wembley. So incredible scenes. I'm getting a little bit tired of the players going out in full kit and the medals. I think it's becoming a little bit cliched. Clarkie, what say you? Yeah. Now, this seems to be the year of it, doesn't it? I know it's been done previously, but I'm seeing all the lads. Maybe Aston Villa have set a little bit of a precedent in the last few days, but yeah, I'm getting a bit...
Why would you risk losing your medal is my thought on that.
I'm just thinking, have your shower. Have your shower and get your clobber on.
Yeah. Right. Well, the Arsenal boys dressed up nicely. You're going to notice that. You know, they had the proper gear on. Yeah, it's a bit Mickey Mouse, isn't it?
I've seen a few beaten finalists not getting changed as well.
What?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm just not having it. Not having it.
Especially after that sweat fest underneath the arch. I mean, dunk.
Your mates are still going to be in the lounge having a continental lager if you put another half an hour on your changing time. Have your shower.
Okay. Shouldn't take half an hour to get changed, but we can come back to that maybe in another pod. I wanted to speak more, though, Clarkie, about Sergei Yakirovic, because, I mean, Hull were in League One as recently as 2020. They only avoided relegation back there on goal difference last year. He said at the victory parade, "I came here to keep Hull in the Championship and I failed," which is a lovely line. But there's not really enough praise we can lavish on the guy, is there? Because we were all scratching our heads at the appointment.
Yeah, and we probably didn't give him enough credit during the course of the season. You know, we spent a lot of time saying they can't stay there, that they're sort of punching above their weight, because they did give up a lot of chances and they were scoring some great goals and whatnot. But the bottom line is, when it really came down to it in the big games, on the final day of the season, they delivered. And then across the three playoff games, you know, how solid were they? I mean, absolutely brilliant. Didn't concede a single goal. Obviously, no shot on target from Burrow, which is a bit embarrassing for them. And look, changing it to a back three was genius. That 3-4-3 definitely suits them, with the wingers, Miller and Bellumin, obviously Hirakawa, who came on and made a difference down the left for Miller. So, yeah, look, he is a tactician. He knows how to negate the opposition. And really, the football isn't great. Acho Nwankwo wants great attacking football. That's why he sacked Liam Rossini, which we battered him for, and why he employed the guy that followed him, Valter, who didn't last very long. This guy, because he's been winning, I think, and they've been scoring goals, has sort of got away with the fact that they're not playing swashbuckling football. But the bottom line is, who cares about swashbuckling football when you get to the Premier League? You know, they boomed it a little bit in this game. It was ugly, but boy, was it resolute and tactically astute. They gave Middlesbrough next to nothing, didn't they? So yeah, Yakirovic is a very, very smart tactician. So that will hold Hull in great stead in the Premier League, a little bit like Regis Labrie. I would liken the two in terms of having really good football brains, but he will need new players. I think this group of players would get annihilated in the Premier League. I think, and I don't want to be the prophet of doom, but I don't see many of them starting regularly in the top flight. I mean, I don't know what Sam thinks on that, or you guys.
Yeah, I was looking at Ollie McBurney's record, 13-96 in the Premier League, 3-34 in La Liga last season. So, I mean, providing they can get out of this embargo, Sam, and that's not going to be an issue for them in the Premier League. Are we looking at a Sunderland-style overhaul? I mean, that's got to be the blueprint now, right, for any club that wins the playoffs. They totally revamped their squad and ended up in the Europa League.
Yeah, you would think so. And physicality is probably not going to be their biggest issue, actually, Hull, thinking ahead. But I think that's been the Achilles heel for some recently promoted sides. And it's forced a little bit of a rethink. Ipswich are the most obvious ones here, who have spoken a lot, I think, openly, that they need to go in with more athleticism, because it is just a different animal, the Premier League. I remember the same sentiment from Daniel Farker and the hierarchy. Stuart Webber, was it, at Norwich, after they dropped out and then got back up, that they got it wrong in terms of the recruitment. And I suppose the way that the set piece game is right now in the top flight, it's about honing in on that. Leeds United's a great example, isn't it? last summer, we were told they were only signing players 6-1 and over or whatever.
Yeah.
And through the season, after starting quite expansively, they evolved, obviously mid part of the season, and became very, very difficult to play against. So yeah, I think there's good examples. The recruitment, who knows really how they're going to go about it. I would envisage they maybe even only started seriously thinking about this after the last day of the regular season. You know, do you think they've had the, if we're a Premier League team, recruitment meeting a fortnight before the end of the season? I don't think so. I think they probably thought they might drop out, you know, internally. And that's why there's been a little bit of noise from the players. You know, we were written off. They were written off. And we were guilty of it, of course, because there's the numbers. That's one thing. But, you know, me and Clarkie both sat there and watched them a few times. And it wasn't an easy watch. And I think everyone probably felt towards the tail end of the season it wasn't sustainable.
Honestly, I watched them at Leicester, right, a few weeks ago. Toward the end of the season, I think it was the night Leicester went down. And in the second half, Leicester absolutely destroyed them. Probably should have scored 6 goals. And this is Leicester City, you know, basket case at the moment, into League One, and Hull in the Premier League. So anyone that watched that game would never believe that they'd make it. So yeah, well done to them. It's a phenomenal achievement. I think McBurnie is the guy. McBurnie and Jakirovic are the absolute architects of this. I mean, without McBurnie, they don't challenge, and without the manager and his astute brain, and actually the way that he got the group together, formed more of a British core. I think, you know, you notice that. Obviously, we spoke a lot about the experience, but real British core. I think last year there was a lot of names there that were difficult to pronounce, that we didn't know much about, that didn't really have much experience in English football. They changed that, and it worked brilliantly for them. I think the spirit that he fostered was as important maybe as the strategy. So yeah, Jakirovic and McBurnie and the goalie, I'd say, are the three sort of heroes of this campaign.
Talk to me about Middlesbrough then, Clarkie. I was going to say undercooked because of the circumstances, but I'm not sure undercooked is a word you want to use in this weather. They'll spend a 10th season in the second tier. Obviously a less than ideal build-up for them, but man, they'll have some regrets, won't they? Not least Solbrin's error. And didn't notice many of his teammates getting round him after that, but they didn't manage a shot on target in the final. And they've got the likes of Morgan Whittaker. We know that they had key absentees in attacking areas too, but I mean, that's desperate stuff, isn't it?
Yeah. It's a little bit humiliating that they had all that ball and no shots on target. First team since Huddersfield in that sort of stinker of a final a few years back. So I've said it before. I think I haven't said it so much about the goalie, but I've never been a massive Solbrin fan. I've always felt that Middlesbrough in the last sort of 5-6 years haven't had a top keeper, and I don't, you know, Solbrin is a good keeper, don't get me wrong, but I don't think he's top. He's not Carl Rushworth, for example. You look at the guys that have been promoted. Pandle was superb this season. Walton as well at Ipswich. So I think at both ends of the pitch, they're woefully light. And that for me has made the difference. I think particularly the striker. Strelec is willing and you know, he can have his moments, but he's not a front man that you're going to get promoted with, unfortunately. And probably Tommy Conway isn't either, even though I love his endeavours. It's just not a lethal enough finisher. So at both ends of the pitch, they really struggled. I think between both boxes, they were probably the best team in the Championship for most of the season. They played the best football that I saw. I think they play, you know, I think Kim Hellberg is a really excellent coach who develops, you know, great patterns of play. I think they're quality. I really do. But inside both boxes, not good enough. And that ultimately is what cost them. And I think they've got themselves to blame, because in January they had a chance. They were in the mix, and they didn't get who they needed to get. And then, of course, there was a load of frustrating games where they should have won. They ended up drawing or losing. And that. Rather than the Wembley game, is what cost them promotion, because they should have been lock-ins for top two. Coventry and Borough were comfortably the best two teams in the division, to my eyes. And hopefully they'll learn from their mistakes and get the right players in this summer, because I think they've got the right coach.
So what does next season look like for them, Sam? I mean, we expect Hayden Hackney to leave. God willing, he'll be joining Nottingham Forest. Mm. But will they be raided elsewhere? And will you expect them to challenge again next term?
Yeah, I'd expect them to challenge. I think the manager's really good. I've enjoyed watching his team. Yeah, I think it's obvious where their weaknesses lie. And, you know, when you're bringing on Hansen and Sarmiento towards the tail end of a playoff final, when you're desperately in need of creation and a goal, it tells the whole picture. I'm not sure Tommy Conway, I'm not a massive fan of his. I mean, he's not a natural goal scorer, is he? Maybe actually his industry off the left has been actually a positive in the last few weeks of the season. But yeah, they don't only need one centre forward. I think they need to revamp the whole forward line. And they'll need a replacement for Hackney, of course, in the midfield, who I think just lifted them a little bit at the weekend. And had he been fit, could have been different because there was no way through. And it was side to side and it was down one side and back out the other. And they just couldn't find that penetrative pass. And I think with him on there, things could have been maybe different. So yeah, replacement for him, some more forward players and yeah, top six would probably be the minimum requirement. Whether they're going to be able to put themselves in a position after a season when it was really there for them, I think in terms of the open nature of the championship, I'd maybe doubt. But yeah, you'd be confident that they're going to be, you know, a playoff team again.
All right. Well, Middlesbrough, we'll see you again next season. Hull City, best of luck for your return to the Premier League. We are going to talk about the League One playoff final next.
Johnston gets there. The two Stockport players didn't.
Battle for the Northwest slash a place in League One was won emphatically by Bolton Wanderers. They hammered Stockport County 4-1 on Sunday. A glance at social media will tell you the Bolton party is still very much in progress. Another one that can't have been fun to play in. Obviously, we weren't expecting a May heat wave when the 1 o'clock kickoff was announced, but this one was 30 degrees at the time of kickoff. To Ruben Rodriguez bookending this with goals on 3 and 94 minutes. I mean, deserving winners, Clarkie, I think is about all we can say about the game itself, right? Or do you think that it might have changed had that Stockport goal been ruled out that came shortly after Rodriguez opened it?
Yeah, I think it's important to reference that because it was really unlucky, like mega unlucky, wasn't it? I mean, for me, it's totally accidental and a sort of a coming together. I don't think he goes to foul the player. It's just, I would put it down to bad luck for the defending team. And I personally, I don't think it should have been ruled out, but I get the argument for why it is, particularly when you've got VAR there. But I personally think morally that goal should have stood. And if it had have done, it could have been a very different final, as you're saying. I don't think it was a 4-1 game. I think that flattered Bolton a bit. But the bottom line is, of all the six teams in the playoff finals, Bolton are the only team that created stacks of chances. The only team that went above one expected goal. They actually had 2.72 XG. 9 shots on target, 18 overall. So look, they're worthy winners on the day. And I think their firepower, you know, from the start and from the bench made a big difference. You know, they went with Burstow, good footballer, you know, brings players into play at the start, and then they could just go and bring on Dalby, who's a quality player. Same with Gale starting and then Sissoko coming on. Like, they had really, really strong backups to get the job done. And yeah, that got that overhead from Dalby was class, wasn't it? That was a great moment. But I do think Stockport, even though you don't want to point at individuals, you know, the keeper who are right, he's had, you know, a good career, good seasons the last few years. He's had a mare, hasn't he? For the first goal, it's an absolute shocker. And then I think for the own goal as well. Although for the own goal, he's probably made a good save, and it's just unlucky that Wootton is there to put it in. Yeah, I think for that first goal as a tone setter, so that was a bit of a disaster.
Not to dwell on it too long, Sam, but I think it's worth a bit more exploration on that Dacus Cogley red card. He pulled Sissoko's hair, penalty dispatched by Rodriguez. Dave Challoner called it an absolute joke. He also said, when you're putting officials in charge that have never used VAR before in the biggest game of the season for League One, I'm not sure that's a sensible choice. Would you agree with him there? And what do you think about VAR being used in the playoffs more generally?
Oh man, not no more VAR chat, surely. Come on.
I mean, it's quite clear, isn't it? The rule is if you pull somebody's hair, it's a red card. So
yeah,
I'm pretty sure the beef is.
Yesterday, I thought it worked really well, would be my honest take, where they didn't have to get involved in too much and they got any decisions pretty much bang on, I thought. And obviously, I was privy to what was going on as well in the VAR room, if that's what we call it. So, hub, yeah. In the industrial estate in Slough, or whatever people brandish it. So I haven't got a problem with it, really. I understand is complaints on that one, 100%. And something seems to need to be done about that as well, because he's not trying to pull his hair. I don't think, I've only watched it a couple of times back. He's tussling, he's kind of on the turn, he's grabbing his shirt. Yeah, I think that's really harsh to see a red card for that. So I understand his disappointment. But in the main, in this match, I thought the decisions were right. I thought it was a clear foul from Sidibe. As unlucky as he was, I thought it was going to be ruled out, and it was. And I thought, along with what Clarkey said, which I agree with, I couldn't agree with him taking Sidibe off. I just couldn't get my head around that. And I know the conditions were incredibly tough, but when did he get withdrawn? Sorry, I'm
65 minutes.
And he, you know, I spoke about Bolton's high line in the semi-finals, and it wasn't fully exploited by Bradford. It was getting exploited here by a really informed player who will have an enormous amount of suitors, I think, given what he did in this game. I thought it was electric. The goal's a brilliant goal, the header, but he looked so disappointed to come off. Mm. Alafay obviously had the big moment, his direct replacement, Bonham making a brilliant save. But yeah, I just thought, having scored, he had more to give, especially with the potential of them equalising and maybe getting the additional half an hour. And then you could introduce someone like Alafay off the bench. So, I mean, the first half, I thought they shaded it, Stockport. I thought when it went 1-1, they looked the more likely. So yeah, the sub really swung it.
One minute, Sam, it was. So the Wootton own goal was in the 64th minute. And then bang, they've changed their entire front three a minute later. Was that something he was going to do anyway, or wasn't it? It feels like an impulsive rush decision, doesn't it? Really, I'm completely with you. Sidibe was loving it. Mm. And that Bolton line is a bit high, and he was the guy to definitely exploit it. I think, well, we'll get to Carl Robinson for the League Two final, but yeah, maybe it wasn't Dave Challoner's best.
Yeah, maybe this was the example of a team across the three games who love having the ball, and in Sheehan, if he can control and dominate the centre of the park, it's really difficult. And I don't think maybe they got a complete handle on that. And the two wingers, the three wingers actually, when Sissoko obviously was on, and Gale and Kosi Adubri, big difference makers. But obviously it'll be remembered for that Derby goal and his assist as well. Well, his little bit of link-up play in the lead-up to the Wootton own goal. So, yeah, Bolton were clearly the better team and deserved their place in the Championship. And I'm thrilled for Stephen Schumacher. Really, really good chap. I think good guy. I think we all would adhere to that. I mean, I'm sure spoken to him over the years. And, yeah, it just wasn't Stockport's day, but they will be absolutely fine. There's a good squad there, and I don't think they actually showed their best across the 90 minutes.
Yeah.
Okay, so they'll be absolutely fine next season. What about Bolton then, Adrian? I mean, they deserve credit, first of all, don't they, for turning it on in the playoffs, because they booked their place in them ages ago and then went, what, one win in six at the end of the regular season. It's a big name in terms of English football, isn't it? That means that they'll be able to attract some decent signings should they feel that the squad needs particular refreshment.
Yeah, I think so. Look, it's great to see him back, because obviously they were a club that were in turmoil. The fans have been long suffering, and you know, they almost went out of business. And they went right the way down. They've come all the way back up. So yeah, really, really happy for Bolton. And I think they come up in pretty good shape. They've got a lot of talented players, obviously a few are loanees. So what they do there, we'll have to wait and see whether they turn those into permanent deals or not. But, you know, being so close to Manchester is an advantage. Being a big club that attracts, you know, good crowds is another advantage. I think a lot of good players would be interested in playing for Stephen Schumacher and Bolton in the Championship, because I think that their style of football is perfectly suited to it. So, yeah, I look forward to what's to come. I think they're capable of going up a gear and maybe consolidating in the second tier next season. So yeah, no, I think we got the right team in the end. It wouldn't have been, you know, unjust had Stockport made it, but for me, over the course of the season, Bolton were the next closest to Lincoln and Cardiff. So I think we've got the right team that's gone up.
Just quickly on the site I'm on, just looking at the facts and figures from yesterday's game. Johnson, the lad who was involved in obviously the disallowed goal, most touches, most passes, more than double clearances, and more than double aerial duels than anyone else.
Mm.
Superhuman effort.
Johnson, yeah. And he's been playing left back, hasn't he? So he's just shuffled across with obviously Toll out. So yeah, very good. Good management, good performance from the player, yeah.
Well done, 2, Bolton Wanderers, then they are going to be in the Championship next season. We'll round things off by talking about the team who will take their place in League One next term.
There's the whistle. Notts County have done it. It's party time for the world's oldest professional football club. The Magpies' promotion dreams come true.
Comfortable win for the Magpies, who beat Salford City 3-0 at Wembley on Monday. As I say, Sam and Adrian both watching on for this one. Sam, as a striker, you'd have enjoyed that Alessandro Jatta finish to give Notts a lead just after the half hour. Nice piece of composure and a sort of trademark goal from him, and indicative of how the game went to an extent, I guess, in that Notts' players turned up.
Yeah, I felt at that stage there was a little 5-10 minutes in the first half when it was pretty drab, when the most likely source of an opening goal looked like maybe a Salford set piece. It's kind of how it felt to me. There was a few seconds, they kept it alive quite well, and there was a few scrambles and such like, but apart from their missed opportunity in the first 30 seconds in the second half, that was it really from Salford. Maybe a 5-10 minute spell when the left foot of Garber and the physicality of the two centre halves looked like maybe breaching Notts County. But yeah, I think as good as the finish was, Jody Jones, who I think has probably frustrated me over the years, because you know he's got so much quality, but I don't think I've ever seen him put it together in that fashion over 90 minutes. I mean, he was, from the first whistle, when it's hot like that and you think it's going to be cagey, I'm thinking, which of the forward players is going to take a risk, is going to be inventive, is going to go by their man? First minute, I think he megged someone, got beyond Minoga. He was kind of all over the shot. They were getting the ball out to him, and then he obviously played the most sumptuous of passes, which, yeah, Cooper can probably do a little better. I think he actually left Jatta to run in free and finish. So, yeah, I think that was a good encapsulation that Notts County have got some really good footballers and love keeping the ball, and all the stats will show you that they're one of the most patient teams in the division. But when you've got the running power with the ball of Yorpenda in particular, and you've got Jatta on the shoulder, that's a nice kind of contrasting way to go about it. So, yeah, really well taken first goal, and obviously Salford couldn't get through to half-time just at 1-0. Well-worked set piece, although Lucas Ness said they haven't really worked on it post-match. But obviously the two other centre-halves worked that block on the far post, which I actually thought the officials may look at. I don't know if I'm just getting a little bit blurred.
It was a well-stationed player. It's just in the right place. For me, I'm surprised that they didn't work on it, because it looked very training ground routine-y in terms of...
I think just watching it live, I thought it was like a real cynical kind of arms around the player. It was Graydon, wasn't it? But it was a 2v1 at the far post, and it happened again in the second half, which it really confused me, given that it cost them a goal. It was a brilliant header, obviously, to give them the cushion of the second. But yeah, maybe I'm just, you know, in that position now where I'm expecting everything to be looked at, given what it does in the Premier League.
Yeah, my sort of takeaway from the game was, obviously, Judge Jones was 9.5 out of 10, unbelievable.
Notts County 5 years without playing a league game, Jody Jones, 3 OCL injuries. That is absolutely incredible.
Yeah.
Well, starting a league game, I should say. That is absolutely incredible.
And yeah, this season his numbers haven't been as good as they have been in some seasons, like when he was an assist machine, but yeah, he was ridiculous on the day. Notts County with a more measured team. They looked after the ball. I thought their midfield was really good, actually. I thought Robertson was terrific throughout the game. Norwood was good while he was on. But for me, they just looked a better prepared team. And I don't know what Sam thinks of this. At the drinks breaks, right? I don't know if you saw this. And I was making a bit of a fuss about it on the radio. During the drinks break, Notts County had the advantage because they could go in the shade. Ice towels on every single player. Salford had nothing. Salford didn't have an ice towel. I've played in non-league where on a hot day, the physio and the staff have got those cold ice towels that they put around you. They're absolutely necessary. Salford didn't have them. I just thought that kind of encapsulated it. It felt to me like Notts County were just better prepared in every single way. Tactically, they were better prepared. Patterson made, you know, made good choices during the game. For me, I mean, Carl Robinson, who I really like, panicked and just chucked on all the best, all the forwards, and they just looked lost in the second half with no real discernible shape. So I think it was Patterson definitely and his staff schooled the Salford staff in this game. I know that sounds really harsh, but that's just how I saw it.
Patterson, another one who we owe some apologies to. I mean, it's not like Salford haven't got anyone in a position of power who's played at the elite level of English football who might know about things like ice towels, I suppose.
Robbie, you might over-egg in that, though, seriously. But if you're a player, Sam, you're crying out.
It sounds like quite a basic requirement.
Yeah. Dave Challenham was the best prepared over the weekend. He had his own little tub.
Did he?
Did he? With the ice in it for a little hanky to go on the back of his neck. Yeah, he was taking good care in the heat. But yeah, I mean, it's only a small thing, but it was just unbearable yesterday. It really was incredibly hot. Yeah, I mean, going into the game, I felt if I was a Salford forward, the last thing I'm going to be wanting to do is close down Notts County if they knock the ball around. And I think that was a part of it, because Salford just couldn't press with the intensity.
That's their strength, isn't it? Yeah. They're a great pressing team, and it just wasn't conducive.
And also, you know, Jatta gives them that out ball. Udo's not really that type of player on the shoulder. He's a good link player. He's a clever footballer, but they didn't really have that out ball. The changes at halftime, I kind of understood. I don't know, Clarkey. I know it was a change of system. He went to the three, didn't he? And Graydon went wing back, and he got Graydon initially went up front, didn't he, with Udo, then went back to wing back. So I understood that, because if they were aiming balls towards Udo in the first half, he was never going to win them.
No.
Sesse had to go up a little bit higher and be the one to compete for the first ball and then try and get on the second. So I understood that, especially you said it actually, Clarkey, last week. You know, when you're playing a back three and you're playing that with one, you haven't got a hope in hell. So to have the two up there, and I think actually Sesse running from deeper caused them a little bit of an issue, obviously getting in for that chance. But the flip side was the game became open, and obviously with a 2-0 cushion, they were always liable to concede the third, which was like the absolute gloss on it, because Jones thoroughly deserved the goal. So it was very fitting that he capped it in that fashion.
Yeah. Just very quickly on that, I just felt that someone like Graydon, I think, played three positions in about 15 minutes. Like it was just one of those games where it's like, we're going to this now, and then bang, actually, no, now we're going to change back to this. It just felt a bit messy. And if I was a player down there, you might be a little bit confused at times. But Notts County absolutely deserved it here. They brought their A game. And yeah, and look, they're a club that's certainly big enough to play in the third tier, you know, well supported. They've been through some hellish times as well, with some very dodgy owners and going down to the National League, but they've come back much, much stronger, haven't they? So yeah, I'm really happy for them. I'm happy for our mate, James Belshaw, Matt, who came on last week. And
his daughter would have had a good birthday party in the end.
Oh, not half. Yeah. Forgot about the party. Yeah. I was just thinking about his dad, and now his dad, you know, his dad must have been absolutely buzzing. Clean sheet. And that one chance where Sesse goes through, catches them cold. It's just a heavy touch, wasn't it? And it gave James that chance to come out and make the block. So, but again, Notts County, no goals conceded, just like Hull in the playoff. So, you know, fair play. Because that was, like Hull, Notts County have been a team that have leaked goals all season. And like Jokerović, Patterson was prepared to do a little tweak or two in the playoffs to get over the line. So I think those two in particular, not taking anything away from Schumacher, but even Schumacher against Bradford kind of did the same, was less bothered about their style of play and was slightly more pragmatic. I think all three winning managers showed that they were prepared to go a little bit against what they've done for most of this season. So credit to all of them for that.
Yeah, they'd won their last five against Notts, hadn't they, Salford? But Carl Robinson maybe in preservation mode. Today we didn't have too many. Today we had too many who didn't turn up. You can use so many excuses, but we were beaten by the better team. Last thing I wanted to ask you both on this, how stark was the contrast between the amount of Notts fans and the amount of Salford fans? Obviously, Salford, not a big historic club like Notts County, so this is not the point to hammer them. But Sam, do you think that had any impact on the game? And was it really contrasting looking at one end of the stand to the other?
Yeah, it was. It really was. I don't know. I mean, I know they're not going to huge stadiums in League Two invariably, but, you know, I think you understand that when you go to Salford, you understand that you're going to be, you know, not followed around the country by huge masses of away support. That's nature of the beast. They were playing what, in the 7th, 8th tier a decade or so ago. Well, longer than that now. I think this is going to be the 8th season in League Two, unless I misheard that.
That's true.
Yesterday, yeah. Next season, which it's pretty unbelievable they've not been able to get it right. When you think of the squads that have been put together at times across the last 5, 6, 7 years. So I hope they stick with Carl Robinson, because I like Carl. I think his teams normally play really attractive football. Maybe it's just out of necessity that at the moment they're not really, don't really feel like his teams have been previously at Oxford, MK Dons, Charlton. You know, always play quite expansive attacking football. So maybe they will have to have a bit of a churn again in the summer. But I think to have a bit of continuity with him in particular, rather than change again, would be the right way to go about it, because they're not far away, just a little bit short of the teams that went up this season, of course.
Just came up short, didn't they? But on the fans, it was this double short straw. Obviously, they didn't see, you know, didn't see much to cheer about, and they were in the sun's gaze a whole game. So for fans, like the section that they had was relentless. It must have been pretty hellish for them and for the Stockport fans, and probably for the Hull fans as well. Albeit they had a happier ending. So real tough one for Salford supporters. But I'm with Sam. They've got nothing to feel ashamed about. They can come again.
Okay. Well, somebody they'll be facing next season, Salford, are Darryl Clark's Tranmere Rovers. He signed a 2-year contract with them. They only avoided relegation to the National League on the last day of last season so far. It'll be interesting to see how many sides Darryl Clark has managed by the time his managerial career winds up, because he's been through a fair few, hasn't he? Let's see if he can get Tranmere right, where so many others have failed. Speaking of failure, predictions for everybody but Clarkey. This has been woeful this season.
How about that?
I was double checking last week's, so I listened back to that section of the show. Sam, you said, I think they're all draws, which about summed up how we got on. We each got 1 point.
Why do you usually?
That's so bad.
Not good at all. Clarkey, that means that you win at a canter.
Campione.
How long have you had that in the locker for, and how much did you pay Amazon for?
I stole it at Ted's bedroom about a minute before we recorded. But yeah, for those listeners that can't see, well, that's everybody. I've got a replica World Cup in my hand. 79 to me, Sam to 67, Matt on 56. Not a vintage campaign. You know, it's sort of, I don't take much glory, really. It was a low level this year. Yeah, we'll be better. We'll be better in 26, 27.
Maybe we'll have to do it before group stage.
Yeah, that'll take us a while. All right, before we go, let me remind you, our partners Quinbet have an offer for you. You can get 50% back up to £25. If your account has sportsbook losses at the end of your day's first bet, and Quinbet will refund 50% of your losses as a free bet up to £25, minimum 3 bets. Even if your account's up, you're guaranteed a £5 free bet, provided you place at least one bet of £10 or greater at the minimum odds. T's and C's apply. It's 18+, and for new UK customers only. Visit gambleaware.org for information on responsible gambling. There is a link to that offer in the show notes. We'll finish with our final tweet of the week of the season. It comes from Bolton's Mason Burstow, who is quote tweeting the official account, who said, "Victoria Square, Bolton Town Hall at 6 p.m. See you there. Party emoji. Click below for all the information about our civic reception later today to celebrate promotion to the championship. Up emoji." Mason quotes it by saying, "Party starts in Fanny's Pub, Bolton." And now, Sam, I googled Fanny's Pub, Bolton. It's actually called the Victoria Inn. From what I can gather, Fanny's is the name of the area that you can hire out for a function. It's an interesting name for one, but it is well reviewed. D. McGorky 5436 says, "Finally visited Fanny's after numerous recommendations from friends. Not only was there a friendly and warming atmosphere, but the staff there really made the experience, truly bringing a hint of class to Bolton." I would opine that hint of class was removed somewhat, given the footage that I've seen of the celebrations in Fanny's, but what do you make of a player basically telling supporters where they can go to drink with the team? I'm a fan of it. I'm not sure that the landlord particularly enjoyed it as much.
No, bit of blue for the Dads to finish the season. Bit of blue. I don't know where to go with it there, mate. It's not received much traction either, is it?
8 replies. It's pathetic.
I'm trying to think. I think you want the... you want the night with the punters, don't you? But then the next day you probably want a little bit more of a private function. So I'm enjoying it. Yeah, he would have typed it with a degree of
blurriness.
Yeah, blurriness, but also with a little bit of fun. He's done it with a little bit of fun, hasn't he? And
I wonder if they all did pile down fannies, though. Do you think they did all pile down fannies, like the fans?
Yeah,
we haven't seen any pictures of it, have we?
So maybe I should go ask Lanny's social media and it'll probably say closed until further notice.
I reckon there's a heavy bouncer. There's a big, big bouncer on the door that was probably, spurning, turning people away. But yeah, great name for a pub and a good celebration by the look of it.
Would either of you drink a Red Berry Bongo, which is one of the cocktails advertised on their website? It's Ciroc, whatever that is, Red Berry, Passoa, whatever that is, lemon, sugar, and cranberry. I've got you down more as an amaretto sours kind of guy, Sam.
No, I'd have had a go on that, no problem. I was just thinking there, I'd have had a go on that. Where would you most like to have gone? Hull, Bolton, or Nottingham? If you could have tagged along, if you had a mate in one of the sides, where would you most like to have gone and partied? I think I've heard, maybe I'm going back a few years here, that Bolton used to be a fine night out. Yeah.
I think you know exactly where my choice would have been because I could get a taxi home.
Well, no, you're not allowed. You're not allowed.
I've been out in Nottingham and Hull. And both are terrific, cracking nights out.
It was a big old place, isn't it? I would presume. I don't know it too well.
Oh, better than you think. Trust me. It's quite a uni town. I went there when my mate was at uni there. We had an epic couple of days. It was tremendous.
There you go. It's one vote for each there. Let's do it.
I'd have gone on the bongo. To be honest, if it just one promotion, anything that's put in front of me, I would be necky, no doubt about it.
Fair enough. All right, that's where we'll leave things for today and indeed for this season. Thank you for your support throughout the campaign. It is much appreciated. We hope that you summer well and we will catch up with you soon.